Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus left that place where the boat had landed after they crossed the Sea of Galilee and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I saw that the cruise ships are now advertising virtual tours until you can sign up for their real thing. I guess the traveling is broadening meme is a hard sell for the travel industry today. You probably haven't done your usual traveling this summer, and maybe you've missed it. Because travel, seeing things in new ways and new things and meeting new people and different people who see the world in a different way through a different lens, those things can really alter your perspective. You may come back more open to accepting something that you categorically rejected before. And then, and until you befriended a person who lived with that something. And that. So when we're in our own milieu, we're viewing things from the insider position that sees our norms as the default and as the right way of doing things. And when we travel, we get to be the outsider, the one who has to adjust to the new ways of the new place in order to be understood and accepted. Insiders are used to assuming rights and privileges. A decade ago, there was a clothing company that had a tagline in its ads, "Membership has its privileges." Members and citizens are used to being entitled. They can vote, they have rights. Being in your own country brings that comfortable privilege of belonging. No matter what difficulties Jesus had with the powers that be in his own country and his own territory, he still operated there as an insider, as one who belongs, who had a right to speak. But now he's traveled in a boat with his disciples to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he's landed in the territory of the Canaanites. Travel by an Israelite to the Canaanite land would not have been regarded as broadening. In fact, it was to be avoided, like you would going to a bad neighborhood. Alien people. Those Canaanites worshipped all wrong, and they didn't keep kosher, and were contaminated by strange and inferior gods and practices. Historically, the Canaanites were those people who had been left in the kingdom of Israel when the elites were carried off into Babylonian exile. And when the exiles returned and wanted to take back their privileged position, of course, the Canaanites who had been left behind and who three generations later had mixed with non-Israelite traditions, those Canaanites pushed back, each side accusing the other of being dogs, and worse. There are plenty of examples that you and I know of from American history and from today's news of just such situations. But one of the Canaanite women is so desperate for healing for her daughter that she abandons the mutual hostility to ask Jesus for mercy and that he heal her child. Now, Jesus knows that with his fully human nature, it's impossible for him to go to all the sick people in the world. And he's determined his boundaries to be the ministry to God's chosen people, Israel. And so he makes that boundary-setting argument to the woman. Now, if you're healthy, you've probably had some of these boundary conversations of saying no to a legitimate request because it's outside the scope of your calling. Many worthy organizations have asked for your dollars, and you have to discern your call to decide the boundaries for determining which you will support, right? This church sends money to Lutheran World Relief and not to Catholic Charities, both equally worthy and both of whom work together out in the field and support each other. We've set a healthy boundary, understanding that not everyone has to do everything, nor can they, nor should they. Discerning what solicitations to respond to means setting boundaries over who has a claim on you. But like Jesus, we're called to be always open to the nudge of the Holy Spirit, calling us to set those boundaries aside, like changing your mind, maybe your vote, about things that you thought were right, but now a greater value has superseded the original value that you were operating under. And so the rule is that there's no absolute rule, only a creative tension between your finite abilities to serve and the world's infinite need. Limits and boundaries are not wrong, and they differ for each person and for that person's situation. And we're called to respect them for both ourselves and for our neighbors. And we're also called to respect changes and exceptions. The Canaanite woman was an insider in her own territory and secure in the worship of her own people's gods. And yet she kneels before Jesus in worship, accepting him as authentically God present. And her faith in him changed his definition of the boundaries of his mission. She sees God's presence, and her response is to worship. The response that cuts across all cultures and belief systems, the response of both outsiders, like the wise men and this woman, and of the insiders, like the disciples on that battered boat and those who doubted while yet believing. She brings not just a manipulative prayer for a miracle, but she brings a genuine faith. The parable of the kingdom of God in this account is that her desperation on behalf of her child mirrors God's desperation on behalf of all God's children, the desire to be in a relationship and to save every human child. Jesus is enlightened by this expansive vision and definition of who's included in God's chosen people. And guess what? He lives into this new vision. After healing her daughter, he then moves on into Canaanite territory, healing the crowds of sick that are brought to him. Matthew's gospel goes on after the text to say, they put their sick at his feet and he cured them, so that the crowd was amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. These people who were anti-Israel worshiped Israel's God because they saw God present for them in Jesus. They overcame their prejudices and crossed a boundary, just as Jesus had done for them. But a problem arises, one that Jesus has seen before. All these gathered people out in the middle of nowhere, they get hungry. Just like the 5,000 in Israel had done before they crossed the Sea of Galilee. And just as Jesus had done for those 5,000 Israelites, he feeds 4,000 Canaanites gathered, this time with 7 loaves and a few fish. So some in Israel might ask, oh, did these outsiders deserve the same miracle that we insiders got? Did they deserve the same afternoon of healing attention out on the hills that we insiders got? Now, you and I, we who are not children of Israel by biological birth, might say, yes, God's chosen us too in our baptism, grafted us into the chosen people, made us heirs of the kingdom, taken us outsiders and made us into insiders. And that begs the question, when we pray for health for ourselves or others, do we think that we deserve it because we're asking in faith? Do we come with the transactional attitude that reminds God of our right to special treatment because we're insiders? Do we let that sense of entitlement that we have in our secular life, our entitlement to civil rights and constitutional rights and human rights, do we let that spill into our relationship to God as a right to God's blessing and healing? Or do we ask God to have mercy, not because we deserve it or because of who we are, but because of who God is? Do we come as insiders or as outsiders? And of course, the answer is yes. We live with the paradox that we are both chosen and heirs with Christ and entitled to all that he has, and we are selfish, me-first people who turn to God only to get what we want. And as Jesus shows us in this story, God is equally there for both insiders and outsiders, and each of us in all our paradoxical messiness. So, you want to follow Jesus? I invite you to right now think of somebody you can't stand. Now, there's probably several, but get one in your mind. Get one in your mind. And now I invite you to pray for that person, for their well-being and their happiness. Not that they'll be converted to your way of thinking, but for them, for their well-being and happiness in whatever state they're in. Pray for them each day this week. It's only by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit that you're going to be able to do this. So Jesus has enacted yet another parable of the kingdom for us. The kingdom of heaven is where both the insiders and the outsiders are equally entitled to God's welcome. And for that we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.